So the title of our thoughts for today is Strength in Weakness. As you probably know, the theme scripture, some of brethren like to put the theme scripture in front of their discourse. As many of you know, that scripture is from 2 Corinthians 12, chapter 9 and 10 verse. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distress, for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, I am strong. We will think about those words for a while, what Apostle Paul told us in this letter to Corinthians. This is a very wondrous statement. When I'm weak, then I am strong. It's almost a paradox and something which in this world doesn't really make sense. Everybody's trying to be more strong, to be prepared for different things. Those who are trying to ski in their lives and looking forward really for ski season, they are starting probably early in the fall to make sure that they will strengthen their legs. Because if you have a weak legs, you will not enjoy long time skiing. I remember myself, I just neglected to do that and I went to a skiing trip and we would travel long distance and I just run from the top to the down and that was it. I get back home. I could not ski anymore because my leg were not prepared. I was not strong enough. Those athletes, to make strong, to be strong, they have to prepare. They have to be strong to be strong. But here in the scripture, it says, when I'm weak, then I am strong. So this is something which is opposite to this world and to things way we think. We can also find in this letter from Apostle Paul to Corinthians the foundation which we put here in his letter from the 1 Corinthians 1st chapter, where he put his thoughts from and where should we put the foundation of our thinking to understand this profound statement. In 1 Corinthians 1:21 we read, for after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. There is many statements and scriptures from Apostle Paul showing that not the wisdom of the world, but wisdom of God, which is different. And the way God and our Lord is working is very different. And the way he is choosing to show his power, choosing to show his blessings, is also very different comparing to what usually people are presenting or choosing, or how they are presenting their wisdom. In the 1 Corinthians 1st chapter and 26, it shows how the Lord and God is choosing his people. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, are called. And if you look around, if you look at the history of those who are called, not only from the Old Testament, not only from the New Testament, there were fishermen, there were just those who were taking care of the flocks, These were not noble people. Even if you look at our days, how many are called who were not highly educated? I remember some examples of brethren who learn how to read because during the Second World War they didn't get a chance, and they learned how to read from the volumes. The truth were actually teaching them the way of living. And that's how God works. Apostle Paul is saying, putting his example as well, illustrated in the principle of God dealing with people, which is a paradox of power in weakness. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. What a different approach. What a different way than we as a human beings have. Our Father does unbelievable and mighty things every day. If he needs to do something with his people, if he would like to manifest his blessing, if he would like to show that he cares, he is doing it in sometimes unbelievable, unexplainable way where we may not see that it's going to work. We can see that everything shows that that's not going to happen. And then, only then, we can see that that was the hand of the Lord who helped us out through it. Often we can hear that from the testimonies of brethren. We hear that yesterday, where Brother Darius was saying about how the transport of the funeral arrangements were. They did what they could. Everything was good. The papers were good. Everything was good. Practically nothing to fail. And all of a sudden, everything stopped, was delayed. To manifest that the Lord is with us, that he has his own ways to show that glory is his. I'm sure we have lots of examples from our own lives, from the lives of brethren. There is so many stories we were recalling from brethren who their lives were spared wondrously in many different occasions. I'm pretty sure that once we start quoting those stories, we will be here for a long time. And you can recall them from the testimonies and ask brethren how the Lord wondrously was working. That many times we did everything and we feel good. Everything is good, prepared. No room for failure. And it fails. Just to show that Lord is taking care of it and he will take care and he will show the ways of making it right. So let's look at a few examples from the scriptures, how the ways of Lord are and how he manifesting his power. Is there anything greater than God's power? I think that's the greatest thing, but he is manifesting it in the small things and in weakness, not as we as humans are doing. Let's look quickly on a few examples. Abraham. God promised Abraham son. Abraham was called friend of God. He had a very good relationship with him. So there was a promise. God promised him, you will have a son. And then nothing happened. 1 year passed by. 2nd year passed by, 3rd year passed by. Well, his wife is getting old. She was actually too old from the human standpoint of view to have a child. And That was the way God chose to show his power in the weakness of people. Then Isaac was born, and Abraham got his promised son with Sarah. What a wondrous and not humanly possible things were done. Another example, we can use Moses. Moses got a very high education in Egypt. From Sunday schools, from youth days, we remember the whole story about Israel and how Moses was wondrously spared and grew up as a boy in the Pharaoh surroundings. And he grew up strong, well educated. He remembered about his nation. And he was ready to help his people. And he knew that he has to do something, so he did. And his attempt to fight for his people ended up in a shameful escape and unknown wandering for a long time on the wilderness. After so many years of loneliness, instructions from God, being alone, then he had passed before God. It was passing all that time, and then God called him. Now you are ready to free up my people. Not your glory, but God's glory, but mine, his glory. Again, that wouldn't make sense. That was the time of preparation. He was ready. He knew Pharaoh. He knew he maybe had a plan. Maybe he went to certain people to help him out to free his people or to make them live better or something in Egypt to change it. Maybe he didn't think about walking out of Egypt. Maybe he was thinking about maybe we can make their lives better in Egypt, but that was not the plan of God. And again, God made things weak to manifest his great power and wondrously lead Israel out of Egypt. Brother Obi yesterday used the example of Joseph. Joseph is one of my very favorite characters in the Bible. I couldn't find anything against Joseph. And yet, his willingness to serve the father as a young boy, he accepted that he will go to his brothers and who he was. He was just a shepherd, a young boy. And he first, before he became a very key person to help his whole family and brothers, he had to be thrown, almost died in the well, sold as a slave, threw into the prison. Every step of that, what happened to him, was half a step from death. There were so many things that he could die of. He was facing death in every single step before he became a ruler in Egypt and the first man after Pharaoh. Again, God wanted to show his ways, which are completely different than our ways. He wanted to raise him up to this rule, not to show that anyone achieved that or he achieved that by himself. And Joseph recognized it. He always remembered about the Lord. And this is the lesson, not only for all of us, but especially for those who are going to through a young people who are going to the beginning of their lives. We have our families, we have brethren, we have meetings, we have everything, but Joseph was by himself in Egypt. For so many years, he kept his faith. He kept his relation to Heavenly Father. He even decided to forget his house and his parents to make sure that he would be ready. Yet, he didn't forget about the Lord. Not an easy stuff. In Egypt, in the completely different culture, in the completely different surroundings. And God realized, God saw that, and he used him as his tool to help Jacob and his sons to save them from hunger and poverty. What the wondrous things working through the and manifesting the power through the weakness. Another great example is David. Very nice and interesting person from the just only from the standpoint of history and how it happened again. When Samuel went to anoint the son of Jesse to the king, and you remember the story? Okay, so you saying that one of my sons supposed to be a king. Okay, so he brought up all the sons, almost, right? And none of them was the one. And Jesse was really surprised, like what's happening? But you have another son, right? Well, yeah, but you know, he's a shepherd. You know, shepherd is kind of like, it was the one of the lowest profession during those days. And he's somewhere in the fields, you know, playing or something, right? And it's a young boy. And Samuel says, bring him in. Again, from everybody's point of view, you have a firstborn, you have mighty, good looking. That's from people's standpoint of view, for our human standpoint of view. But God is looking at something else. He chose the youngest, a musician, poet, shepherd, and he transformed him to the greatest leader that Israel had. In 1 Samuel 16:7, it is actually explanation what happened and why it happened. Let's read this passage. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not unto his countenance, or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For men look on outward appearance, but the Lord looked on the heart. And we know the story of David. We know how many wars he had to go through. And we know his sins, we know his mistakes. And when Nathan came to King David to tell him about his sin, he didn't tell him straightforward. He just said, tell him just a little proverb. And that was enough. And David right away realized that and he said, yes, I sin. And he repent. How opposite to others who were always trying to explain themselves, justify, and never point that they made something wrong. That was heart of David. That's why the Lord chose him. Something completely different than we as the human beings would do. And we have lots of examples, but for the lack of time, we will not bring them up from even our days, how the opposite approach than David nowadays is paying off and is a ladder of climbing up by today's approach to life. But let's keep in mind David and how he although he was committing sins, he was repenting. His zeal to serve the Lord and to build his house was so strong that he actually gathered everything for building the house of the Lord, the temple. He prepared the plans, everything, but Lord says, no, you will not do it. But that's how his son had everything ready. He had the plans, he had the materials, he had everything because the father wants to do it. That was the heart of David. Gideon, he was called when he was threshing the wheat in the field. Nothing wondrous, just the daily work. Angel came and he was called to do his work. And remember how the Gideon was fighting with Midianites, and how he was making sure that he will win. We have many examples where our Lord was cutting off of the amount of soldiers to show that this is not army who is winning. This is the Lord who is winning. A few hundred people against a few thousand. Okay, someone may say, okay, this is the story in the Bible. Okay. Do you remember once Israel was formed? And I remember my grandfather was called to the city hall because it was so interesting, the war, that there were people were giving maybe a month or a few weeks or a few days for Israel to survive there. My grandfather sat there and said, no, they will survive. They will be a nation. They will have their own country. And they were very wondrous about it. And they did. Again, in our eyes, we can witness how Lord is working, how he is blessing, and how he is making wondrous things and mighty things through the foolishness of this world. How he is making strength out of weakness in the people's eyes. Our Lord Jesus was another wonderful example out from the New Testament. God could have bring our Lord to the earth in very wonderful and wondrous surroundings. He chose the family so poor, a carpenter, so poor family that, you know, there was a law in Israel, if your son was born, you have to put an offer from the lamb. They didn't have, they have to put doves because they didn't have money. He provided. He brought the wise man and they brought some things they needed right away to survive, to have a trip to Egypt. They had to run away. Was born in Manjin, and there was no room for them in Bethlehem anywhere else. Savior of the world, Son of God. How weak is it? How low is it? We wouldn't structure it that way, but God, he has his plan, and he wanna show that the salvation is for all and the ransom is for all. Not for only mighty, not for only just a few people around. Jesus died for all. So no poor people and no one else will be excluded. Doesn't make sense for people. It's weak, but it's strength of God. According to God's law, what we read, only weak can be strong. Similar was with the John the Baptist. The Elizabeth gave a birth to John the Baptist, and she was in the old age. The story of Lazarus, we like to read that story because it has a very nice ending when he was raised from dead. But there is one element in that story which we also remember. When he was sick, then the message was passed on to the Lord, and he waited. And then, once he came in, what the human doing, what the human being said, "Lord, if you will be here, he wouldn't die. Why didn't you come right away? That's what we do." But the manifestation of healing is not as great as manifestation of God's power to raise from dead. He has his ways, which are higher and different, very different from our ways. Another example from the New Testament is Apostle Paul. I often think how me, myself, how I would react as a brethren in that time. The persecutor of Christians is coming in and he says, saying that I'm the one who's serving the Lord. Well, that was probably the very tough. But again, very highly educated person, Roman citizen. This is something very high. On the road to Damascus, he was thrown on the ground in the dust, blinded, and heard the word of God, and become very humble and most zealous apostle and the servant of the Lord. My spirit shall wait on the Lord. The key to perfect power of God in us is a standstill. As long as our constant struggles for life continues. We often sometimes hear, especially for those brethren who are towards the end of their journey, they are saying, "I cannot serve the brethren, I cannot do this because I'm older age." But they are doing a lot by standing still. If we'll see those brethren showing up on the meeting, we see those brethren or sisters who spend their lives with their gray hair right now. This is an example. This is standing still, an example for young ones. No matter what happen in their lives, they stand still next to the Lord. And for young ones, you know, if you are getting discouraged, go to the one of the oldest brethren you can find around and ask them how they did it and what they went through and what they had to give up. They give up everything. They lost their loved ones, families, work, but they didn't lose one thing. They didn't lose the Lord. And that's the strength. That's something which I remember talking to my grandfather, story of my aunt and my mom and others. This is standing still, brethren, and we should hold on to it. Stand for the Lord. Our time is running out, but one of the stories of really one of the most beautiful stories from the Old Testament is also when David is fighting Goliath. He came in to feed his brothers. "So what are you doing here?" "Oh, you know, we are at war. Let's just get the food and get out of here. It's not a place for you." And he heard that Philistine, you know, saying wrong things, bad things about God. And he says, what you are doing? He is saying, sinning against the God, and you don't do anything?" And they look at him like, "Look at the army. Look how he looks like." And he says, "Okay, I'll go." They look at him, a small boy, and he wants to fight the guy who is twice his size and so on. But the thing, we will not read the story, you know that. There is two elements which I would like to emphasize from that story. Number one, David didn't say, oh, I'm going to fight you. I want to kill you. I'm going to free you up. No. He says, I'm going to you in the name of God, which you are saying, sinning and saying things against. It's not me. I'm going in his name. That's from the David standpoint of view, and from the standpoint of view of Goliath, what he can do. And he lifted up his helmet. That was enough. 5 stones, and Goliath was on the ground. What can we learn from Goliath? Well, Goliath was a negative person in that whole story, but he underestimated his opponent. What we can learn from it? We should be on guard. Don't underestimate that Satan is seeking to go after Lord's people as well. Never lift up our helmet of salvation. And always go and fight our enemy, Satan, in the name of our Lord. Because once, as soon as we say, yes, I have strength, I know scriptures, I can fight it, then we are lost. But if you go and fight in the name of our Lord, because we are nothing, we are weak, then there is our strength. Then we can go and follow our Lord's example when he was tempted on the wilderness, which will be a separate subject. But that was the example how we should fight it in the name of our Lord and the scriptures. Trying to probably skip a little bit because our time is going up. In the 1 Samuel 17:37 chapter, let's quote the scripture. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out from the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. That was David's approach. Lord is saving the faithful. And his ways consist in doing small things in the Lord's way. Our Lord's whole life was testifying to it. He was doing little things. He was teaching in parables. He was feeding those who were hungry. He even had a time to talk to little kids, which, again, from the standpoint of disciples, what waste of time. Lord, you have a mission. You have to do something big, something great. Yet he took the little kids and he was talking to them. Again, different approach. Little things, not the mighty things, because in those little things, God's power is manifested. And he says, you have to be like those little kids, not like an adult. You have to think like them, have a trust. Rely on the parents, rely on the father. Older we get, more we rely on our own. More we want to have been, we want to be in the control. And then weaker we are. That's why we should rely our strength in our weakness to point and ask God to do his things through that. Brethren, I would like to summarize with the statements, which is in very well-known scripture from Revelation 2:10. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful, maybe a couple more years. Be faithful until you achieve your character where you will be satisfied. Well, you really realize the prophecies and everything else, and you feel that you can now pause on, right? No. And this scripture says clearly, be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give thee crown of life. Trusting all the time, being faithful all the time, through goods and through bad things which are coming to world and to our lives. And do good work all the time for brethren and for the Lord. And don't forget about others. Matthew 22:39. And the second is like unto it, that shall love thy neighbor as thyself. Do you love yourself? Let's think about it. We have to have a respect to ourselves as well. And we have to love our neighbor. Why he didn't say love your friend who is 100 miles away? Because usually he will not harm you. The most things which hurt us the most are from the closest ones. Maybe some word from the family member. Maybe some words during our class meetings. It hurts. But that's how we are tested. Are we able to forgive? Are we able to do good? Let's be faithful unto death, and our Lord will give us the reward. I would like to conclude with the scripture from 2 Peter, 1st chapter and 11th verse. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, which we pray to come. And we pray that the Lord will correct our paths so we'll be worthy to whatever part it will be, whatever our part will be, the Lord will give us according to his goodness and love. But let's hope that we'll be able to see the Lord face to face and our Savior Jesus Christ, which is my wish for all of you brethren, and may the Lord add his blessings.